In the name of Jesus Christ, who has always since the fall, is at the present time, and will remain until the last day, the one and the only way to escape hell, and the one and the only way to bring souls to heaven. My dear friends, our sermon text for this convention worship service is Luke 16, verse 29, where it is written that Abraham said to a certain rich man in hell concerning his five brothers who were still living here in this world, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." This is our text. Right before and right after these words of our sermon text, Jesus had given this account, this background, this information here in Luke 16. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence, from here, where Abraham was, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence, that would come from there, from hell. Then he, the rich man, said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he, the rich man, said, Nay, or no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he, Abraham, said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. From this account by our dear Savior, especially the words of our sermon text in verse 29, we clearly see for ourselves the sufficiency of Moses and the prophets. First of all, for our faith, and then secondly, for our life. Moses and the prophets was another name for the Old Testament. Abraham said to the rich man in hell concerning his five brothers, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They had the Old Testament writings. Let them hear those writings. These five brothers, still here on earth at that time, kept having at their time living here on earth, the Old Testament scriptures available to them so that they could fully, in the fullest sense, hear those Old Testament scriptures for themselves. Such hearing in this context and in this verse included believing those scriptures. We often call it hearing in the pregnant sense. Taking those scriptures to heart, not only with the hearing with their ears, but with their hearts. Jesus declared in the New Testament in Luke 11, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, store it in their hearts, look upon it as a great treasure, not reject it." In John 8, the Savior said to his unbelieving enemies, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." In that same gospel, two chapters later, the Savior also declared, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The proof and evidence of true, full hearing of the Word of God is following that Word of God, putting that Word of God into practice in our lives, doing what that Word of God teaches us to do while we are here on earth. In Psalm 119, the psalmist spoke of such godly hearing of the Holy Scriptures when he confessed to his God of truth and grace, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." During this convention week, we have had multiple opportunities to hear God's word. We had the blessed opportunity on Wednesday and Thursday to hear that word of God in our pastoral conference, in the Friday morning worship service, in the convention reports in the afternoon. And now today, and yesterday, I forgot about yesterday. Yesterday we had the essay, the first part of the essay, further convention reports, which always included the Word of God, and now today our worship service, the second part of the essay, the doctrinal essay, and then the final convention reports. These are opportunities to hear God Himself speak to us through the Holy Scriptures, and having those opportunities now and in the future, let us not neglect them, but rather take advantage of every possible opportunity to hear God's word, the one thing needful for us. Hearing that word of God in our congregations, in our homes, in whatever way that can be done, and in really all of our life. Why was it necessary for these five brothers to hear Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament writings? First of all, it was necessary because of their inherited and original sin. The psalmist David, in those familiar words from Psalm 51, confessed for himself and really for every human being in all the world, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Secondly, it was necessary for these five brothers of the rich man, still living their temporary life here in this world, to hear the word of God, Moses and the prophets, because of their own actual sins. because of all the times when they had failed to perfectly love the triune God with all of their heart and with all of their soul, and of all the times when they had failed to love their neighbor as much as they loved themselves. This is why it is also necessary for us, every one of us, to consistently and regularly hear Moses and the prophets, as well as to regularly and consistently hear Jesus and the apostles, the New Testament. Also because of our own inherited or original sin and our own many actual sins, when we have disobeyed God's law and have failed to keep it perfectly. Why was it sufficient? Nothing else was needed. No resurrection from the dead was necessary. Why did Abraham tell the rich man that it was sufficient for the five brothers that he left on earth to hear Moses and the prophets? First of all, it was sufficient for the five brothers to hear the Old Testament scriptures because those written scriptures were well able to convict them of their sins and bring them to repentance. Secondly, it was sufficient for the five brothers to hear the Old Testament scriptures because those holy Old Testament writings were well able, through the gospel, to bring them to receive and to believe in the promised Messiah and Savior for all sinners. Moses, the writer, God's writer for the first five books of Scripture, Moses had written in Genesis 3 of the woman, the devil. Moses had written in Genesis 3, about God's certain promise that through the seed of the woman, the devil would be crushed, would be defeated, would be overcome for all nations of the earth, as he wrote later in Genesis. This seed of the woman was most certainly Christ Jesus, as affirmed by the Apostle Paul when he wrote his letter to the Galatians, where he wrote the following: "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, God, saith not," God didn't say, "and to seeds, many, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed," talking to Abraham, "and to thy seed, which is Christ." Concerning this seed of the woman, obviously identified as Christ himself, the prophet, now we hear one of the prophet Isaiah wrote of this Savior, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." God the Father laid on Christ the sins of the whole world, including the sins of every adult and child here this morning. Therefore, when Abraham said to the rich man in hell concerning his five brothers who were still living in this world, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them," Abraham was really telling the rich man that the Old Testament scriptures, which his five brothers had available to them, those scriptures were sufficient to save his brothers from the torments of hell by bringing them to see their sins through the law of God and to bring them to see their Savior through the gospel of the Messiah for the whole world. That gospel, that wonderful news, which was sufficient and well able to bring them to truly hear, to truly believe, to truly keep in their hearts. That gospel of the forgiveness of all sins and that gift of being in heaven with Abraham, Lazarus, and all the saints who are already there at that time. We also have Moses and the prophets. We also have the Old Testament. Even if that were the only part of Scripture that we had, that would be sufficient even today through God's law to bring us to be convicted of our sins and through the gospel of the Old Testament to be brought to receive the Savior for sinners and to keep on receiving God's gifts of forgiveness and righteousness for Jesus' sake, for the world's sake, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. In the seminary, I had the privilege of teaching a class called the Introduction to the Old Testament. The three students who were in that class may well remember the magnitude of our eyes being opened to how much of the mercy, the grace, the gospel of our God in Christ is revealed in the Old Testament, either indirectly or directly. My assignment was that they would read through during the semester all the Old Testament and make notes of the mercy of God, the salvation of God, gospel promises, built, of course, on God's work through the Messiah. It was an astounding thing to realize in our day when people say, well, the Old Testament is all law, to realize how much of that precious good news is also revealed and continues to be revealed through Moses and the prophets. Our gracious and ever-merciful God has not only given us Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament writings, but he has also given us Jesus and the apostles, the New Testament scriptures, which confirm, reaffirm, and show us the same divine moral law and the same divine gospel of comfort in Christ that is revealed in the New Testament. The very same divine law in the New Testament, the very same divine comforting gospel in the New Testament. Oh, let us grow, a word used in Scripture to show that we don't put our lives in neutral, but we grow. Oh, let us grow more and more in our appreciation and thanks to our faithful God for in Christ not only creating, but preserving our faith through the sufficiency of Moses and the prophets, and also through the sufficiency of Jesus and the apostles. When Abraham said to the rich man in hell concerning his five brothers still living here on earth, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them, he was not only declaring to the rich man that Moses and the prophets, which these brothers had available to them, whether the rich man now should recognize and realize that those Old Testament writings were sufficient to bring the brothers to receive and to enjoy God's forgiveness in Christ for all of their sins, to save them from hell. But Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, were also sufficient in Christ to help the five brothers through that same instrument of God, Moses and the prophets, to live God-pleasing lives in this world and to enjoy eternal life thereafter with Abraham and Lazarus and all believers of all time. Moses and the prophets. The writings of the Old Testament are therefore not only sufficient to bring souls to faith in God's pardon for all sinners. How? Through the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But Moses and the prophets, the writings of the Old Testament, are also sufficient to bring believers, to fear, to be in awe of the Lord God in thanks for his pardon of their transgressions, the forgiveness of sins bought in Christ and given by God for Jesus' sake to all nations of the world. Once again, through the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The psalmist in the 130th Psalm, a familiar psalm for many of us, one of my favorites, confess to the Lord God, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Why? Now that because of that forgiveness, thou mayest be feared, respected, revered, awed. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them, was the message which Abraham told the rich man in regard to his five brothers still on earth. Just as these brothers needed nothing more than God's revelation in the Old Testament in order for them to be brought to saving faith in the Savior, in the Messiah, so we also need nothing more. Neither did Lazarus. So also we need nothing more than God's revelation in the Old Testament and for us also in the New Testament to live God-pleasing lives in thanks for his goodness and his mercy given to us for the sake of the only Savior for sinners. That's why the psalmist, for example, urges us to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. It is always for the Christian's God-pleasing life. It is always the Lord's goodness and mercy in our Savior that stirs the children of God to pray, for example, with thanksgiving, as the Apostle Paul urges us in Philippians 4, prayers such as we have in the Old Testament. An example being such in Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. St. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. It drives us. It gives us the spiritual energy to do whatever we can to please our God, to thank our God, not to earn anything with him, but to have every day ultimately be a day of thanksgiving. We have Moses and the prophets. We have Moses and the prophets to hear, to believe, and to follow. We have Jesus and the apostles to hear, to believe, and to follow, to sufficiently lead us and guide us through the light and lamp of God's word, through this temporary life, to that life which is everlasting in paradise. All by God's grace, through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. It's just a wonderful term. Someone, for instance, used their talents to do the work of these pews. That was their workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, showing forth ever the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be thanks and praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.